From October 30th to November 5th, CJSF is hosting our 5th annual Fun Drive, a celebration of our 20 years of shared awesomeness. As an awesome listener to your community radio station, you can expect a full week of heartfelt content. Be ready to donate to our campaign, and let's be awesome together. Fun Drive runs October 30th to November 5th on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now! A Palestinian child screams out, "We did nothing wrong. We did nothing wrong," as Israel bombs the Jabalia refugee camp for a third day in a row, this time hitting a school run by UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees. Over 195 Palestinians have been killed in the refugee camp in a series of devastating Israeli airstrikes that the UN says could amount to war crimes. We'll get the latest as the overall death toll from Israel's 27-day bombardment has topped 9,000. Then an exclusive radio TV broadcast interview with the acclaimed writer Ta-Nehisi Coates on how a recent trip to the occupied West Bank opened his eyes.
And what I felt was a tremendous weight. I felt the obvious thing that I think all of us feel, that our tax dollars are effectively subsidizing apartheid, subsidizing a segregationist order, a Jim Crow regime. But I also felt that as an African American who was reared on the fight against Jim Crow, against white supremacy, against apartheid, I felt tremendous shame. How could I not know?
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Officials in Gaza say Israeli airstrikes have killed at least 195 Palestinians in the Jabalia refugee camp since Tuesday. 120 Palestinians are reported missing and feared to be buried under the rubble from 3 days of strikes, which leveled entire blocks of residential buildings inside Gaza's largest refugee camp. Earlier today, Israel bombed a school at the refugee camp run by UNRWA. The UN Human Rights Office said in a statement, quote, "We have serious concerns that these are disproportionate attacks that could amount to war crimes." One resident of Jabalia, Abdel Karim Rayan, said the Israeli airstrikes killed 15 members of his family.
"I lost my whole family, 15 of them. They were innocent, just staying in the camp. What wrong did they do? All of them were killed. My sister's house with her children, my brother's house with his children, all of my siblings. No one left but me and my younger brother. 15 people. These are their names. They are innocent and kind. It's literally a massacre."
On Wednesday, Gaza's only cancer treatment center, the Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital, was forced to close due to lack of fuel. An Israeli airstrike damaged the hospital's third floor earlier this week. The Indonesian hospital reports it's running on a backup generator with limited power. Egyptian ambulances have taken out 80 critically ill patients from Gaza through the Rafah border crossing. Hundreds of foreigners and dual nationals are also hoping to leave Gaza at Rafah. It's expected thousands will be able to go out of the crossing in the next few days. Meanwhile, Israeli troops and tanks are pushing deeper into Gaza. Israel says 18 of its soldiers have died since it's launched a ground invasion of Gaza Friday. Health officials in Gaza say over 9,000 Palestinians have been killed during Israel's 27-day bombardment. President Biden's publicly voiced support for a humanitarian pause to Israel's assault in Gaza for the first time. Biden's comment came during a campaign fundraiser in Minneapolis after a local rabbi named Jessica Rosenberg of Jewish Voice for Peace interrupted his speech to donors.
Mr. President, if you care about Jewish people, as a rabbi, I need you to call for a ceasefire right now.
Moments after she called for a ceasefire, moments after that exchange with the rabbi, President Biden said he supported a pause to the fighting.
A pause?
Yes, a pause.
What is a pause?
Okay. Pause means give time, get the prisoners out.
Yes.
President Biden did not meet with any Muslim leaders during his visit to Minneapolis. Instead, the Minnesota chapter of CARE, that's the Council on American Islamic Relations, held peaceful protests demanding an immediate ceasefire. This week, a poll by the Arab American Institute showed support for Biden among Arab Americans has cratered, down from 59% 3 years ago to just 17% in October. Meanwhile, in Rhode Island, peace activists held a die-in protest inside a local office of Democratic Senator Jack Reed. The protesters were urging Reed to vote against sending an additional $14 billion to Israel.
As a senior member of Congress in a key position of power over the U.S.'s military spending, Senator Reed has played an influential role in upholding our government's support for the systematic and decades-long oppression of Palestinians by the Israeli state.
Hello.
We are here to say no more and to condemn in no uncertain terms Senator Reed's complicity in the provision of billions of dollars of U.S. aid and arms to Israel's genocide of the Palestinian people.
Jordan has recalled its ambassador to Israel. In a statement, Jordan's foreign ministry condemned the, quote, ongoing Israeli war that's killing innocent people in Gaza and causing an unprecedented humanitarian catastrophe. Jordan's move came ahead of Secretary of State Antony Blinken's departure for the Middle East today. Blinken will meet in Tel Aviv with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli officials Friday before heading to Jordan, where the State Department says he'll discuss ways to reduce regional tensions. Lebanese media is reporting two shepherds who'd been shot at by Israeli forces have been found dead of gunshot wounds were near Lebanon's southern border. The reported killings came as Israeli forces continue to trade cross-border fire with Lebanese armed group Hezbollah, which claimed Thursday it shot down an Israeli drone for the second time this week. Meanwhile, Iran's foreign minister warned Wednesday Israel's assault on the Gaza Strip could spark a wider regional war. He spoke during an official visit to the Turkish capital, Ankara.
If this war is not stopped immediately and the joint attacks by America and Israel against civilians, the women and children of Gaza, are not halted, then the consequences for those who are waging this war will be grave.
Ukraine's commander-in-chief acknowledged Thursday a five-month-long counteroffensive has largely failed to recapture territory lost to Russia's invasion. General Valery Zaluzhny compared the impasse to battles during World War I, in which vast numbers of troops were killed, retaking small patches of territory in brutal trench warfare. His comments came as Ukraine's military reported Russian shells have fallen in nearly 120 settlements over the past day in some of the heaviest bombardment of the war. The UN's Humanitarian Affairs Office reports more than 9,900 civilians have been killed since the start of Russia's invasion, an average of nearly 16 civilians killed every day. Ukraine is now the most heavily mined country in the world. Its government estimates a third of its territory is covered in mines and unexploded ordnance. On Capitol Hill, Republican senators have launched an effort to end a months-long blockade by their colleague, Republican Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, on hundreds of military nominations and promotions. Since July, he's blocked more than 370 confirmation votes to protest a Pentagon policy that covers the travel costs of employees forced to cross state lines to obtain an abortion. On Wednesday night, Republican senators repeatedly rose to sharply criticize Tuberville. This is South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
No matter where you believe it or not, Senator Tuberville, this is doing great damage to our military. I don't say that lightly. I've been trying to work with you for 9 months.
House lawmakers have rejected a resolution to expel New York Republican Congressmember George Santos over his litany of lies and alleged criminal behavior. Santos, if that's his real name, has admitted to fabricating his educational background, employment history, and religion. He faces nearly two dozen federal charges, including wire fraud, money laundering, and theft of public funds. This is New York Republican Congressmember Anthony Desposito.
We have learned about countless lies, deceptions, and 23 charges against Mr. Santos. It is in the best interest of the constituents of New York 3 and all Americans that he is expelled from the House of Representatives.
Newly elected House Speaker Mike Johnson joined 181 other Republicans and 31 Democrats voting against expelling Santos. Maryland Democratic Senator, Congressmember Jamie Raskin wrote after the vote, quote, "This would be a terrible precedent to set, expelling people who've not been convicted of a crime and without internal due process," unquote. Meanwhile, lawmakers have dropped a bid to censure the House's only Palestinian-American congressmember after she joined a nonviolent protest calling for a ceasefire in Gaza and accused Israel of carrying out a genocide. The resolution to censure Michigan Democrat Rashida Tlaib was brought by far-right Georgia Congressmember Marjorie Taylor Greene, who accused Tlaib of anti-Semitic activity and insurrection. Congressmember Tlaib rejected the accusations, writing in a statement, quote, "I will not be bullied, I will not be dehumanized, and I will not be silent," she said. Congressmember Marjorie Taylor Greene herself has repeatedly made racist, Islamophobic, and anti-Semitic remarks. In 2018, she advanced a conspiracy theory about the Rothschild banking firm, a popular target of anti-Semitic tropes, suggesting it was connected to a plot to start wildfires in California using a space laser. In Oregon, more than 4,500 teachers and other employees at 81 Portland area schools walked out on strike Wednesday after failing to reach an agreement on a new union contract. The union seeking higher wages, more time to plan lessons, and a limit to class size. It's the first ever strike of Portland teachers. In other labor news, thousands of non-union pharmacists and technicians at CVS and Walgreens stores have launched a three-day walkout to demand the pharmacy chains hire more staff and improve working conditions. Organizers of the Wildcat Strike, which has been dubbed Pharmageddon on social media, say the COVID-19 pandemic exacerbated workplace stress and high turnover, with employees forced to work faster and with less help. And healthcare activist Adi Barkan has died at the age of 39 of the neurodegenerative disease ALS. After his diagnosis in 2016, Adi Barkan dedicated his life to the fight for single-payer health care. He continued to speak out even after ALS left him physically unable to talk, communicating with a computerized system that translated his eye movements into spoken words. In 2019, Adi used the device to deliver powerful opening remarks at the first-ever congressional hearing on Medicare for All. His story is told in the documentary Not Going Quietly. In 2021, I spoke with Adi Barkan just ahead of the film's premiere.
"Only a truly radical departure from our exploitative for-profit model to one that guarantees health care as a right for all will ensure that we no longer live in a nation where people go bankrupt on account of their medical bills. A system that profits off of death and people foregoing medical care is a system that is beyond repair. We need Medicare for all now."
To see our full interview with Adi Barkan, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, we go to Gaza, where the death toll from Israel's 27-day bombardment has topped 9,000. Stay with us. Imran Martini by the Gaza Youth Choir. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. We turn now to Gaza. A Palestinian child screams out, "We did nothing wrong, we did nothing wrong," as Israel bombs the Jabalia refugee camp for a third day in a row, this time hitting a school run by UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees. At least 195 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza's largest refugee camp in a series of devastating Israeli airstrikes in recent days. The UN Human Rights Office said in a statement, quote, "We have serious concerns that these are disproportionate attacks that could amount to war crimes." The overall death toll from Israel's 27-day bombardment has topped 9,000, including 3,700 children. UNICEF is warning children are paying the heaviest price in Gaza.
We go now to Khan Yunis, where we're joined by Fadi Abu Shamala. He is Just Vision's Outreach Associate in Gaza and the Executive Director of Gaza's General Union of Cultural Centers. His recent op-ed for The New York Times is headlined, "What More Must the Children of Gaza Suffer?" Fadi, if you can talk to us about the last few weeks through the eyes of your three children, Ali, 13, Karam, 10, and Adam, 5.
Thank you so much, Ariane, for having me in this interview in a very critical time. Where should I start from? From the heavy airstrike and the shelling over all of Gaza Strip, every single minute that we have being bombed. The numbers talked about 10,000 rockets have been launched over Gaza Strip. More than 12,000 of civilian people have been killed. Hundreds of people, civilian people, are still under rubble, and the civilian defense are not able to rescue them and pull them out from under the rubble. Or should I talk about the entire neighborhoods that it's flattened, the road that is it's cut off, the water, the severe shortage of water, the severe shortage of food, fuel. We don't have electricity for more than 20 days now or more. I don't know, to talk about the UNRWA shelters, that it has around more than half million of displaced people. Israel asked us to evacuate the Gaza City and the north because it's there, and they killed the people. They assassinated, they targeted the convoy of cars while they were traveling and evacuating to the south of Gaza Strip. Should I talk about the a live video that's recorded by and broadcasted by a journalist, Palestinian local journalist. His name is Hassan Safi. He filmed and recorded a video while the tank launched and bumped a civilian car while they were evacuating to the south. What should I talk about? That we don't have bread, that we don't have water, we don't have fuel, nothing. We have only one thing, that we are being killed. There is, and of course, with the green lines, with the international community, with the U.S. administration, this is the situation. People are scared. From what? For being killed. Really, we are having now a second Nakba, if you know it. The first one happened in 1948. We feel that it's another Nakba that we are going to go through it. The most horrible thing for us, that the Israeli officials say that we are human animals to humans. I don't remember exactly. Like, we are treated like animals. You know what happened to animals? They slaughtered. So we are slaughtered now by the Israeli genocide government. This is what's happening now. They now almost separated. This is what is going on here. A genocide, a real genocide and massacres. It's happening now. Like in previous wars, we used to have like 10% of a family is killed. Now, the whole building, the entire neighborhoods, is bombed, flattened. It's happened in Jabalia for 3 days, in Nusayrat, in Khan Yunis city, in every single Gaza Strip cities. This is what is happening here now. I'm a father of 3 kids, as you have mentioned. They think that I'm a hero. I'm not. I'm scared exactly like them. I'm scared of the bombing. I'm scared of not having water. We were lucky that we have yesterday drinking water. We have been without drinking water for around a day. Like, we don't have electricity here. Like, we are also lucky that we have 2 solar panels at the roof of my family. I'm evacuating, by the way. I'm originally living in Gaza City, but I'm already evacuated to my parents. So I'm so lucky that my parents' home are living in Khan Yunis refugee camp.
Fadi,
you can imagine that millions already evacuated their homes. Yeah.
Fadi, you're speaking now, as you said, the international community led by the United States has been supporting Israel absolutely in its operation in Gaza. If you could say, what is your message to Americans as Gaza is under this systematic military assault that is ongoing, and you're describing the devastating conditions under which you and all these children, your own, of course, 3 children, but we've just said 3,700 children have been killed in Gaza. What is your message to Americans?
I would say that I'm so, so, so proud of the hundreds of thousands of Americans who went to demonstrate for us. We are here in Gaza Strip. Believe us, we are following the news, and we feel like more comfortable when we watch in TVs, like thousands and hundreds of thousands of American people who went to the streets in order to support us, to express the sympathy and in solidarity with the Palestinian people here in Gaza Strip. That makes us more relaxed and comfortable that we are not alone, that there is a lot of people who they still have a live heart. That's my message to you. Please keep going. We are listening to you. We are following you. I'm sure that no one can stop our voice. Our voice is for justice. Please keep going what you are doing now, because at the end, I'm sure that the U.S. administration will listen to you and stop, or at least the green line that it's given to the Israeli government of killing us. But please, this is your money. This is the taxes money that you are paying to the American administration. It's used by buying bombs and rockets and provided it to government. We are being killed by your taxes now. Please say no to your administration. That's enough. That this unlimited and ongoing support. The Israeli occupation are checking the humanitarian aid that's entered Gaza Strip. It's a milk for kids. It's a medicine. It's white flour for making bread. So can you at least make double check this support by the American administration, where it goes, what it's used for? It would be like our main priority for you guys in the U.S. I would say it again, and I have mentioned it before, that I was in the U.S. in March, and I met tens of Americans, of people. I was so lucky that I have met them in in March. And I saw that people who have a live heart, who are still have conscious, and they believe in justice. We are depending on these kind of people who can say the truth, and they can tell the truth, and they have the courage, and they are brave enough to say to their administration that stop off standing with the with the massacres implementers with the occupation. It's not about Gaza. It's not a war between Israel and Hamas anymore. It's a war between the Israeli in the most strong forces in the Middle East against a civilian people. Like look at West Bank. They don't have Hamas there. Mm-hmm. How many one is killed since October 10? Seven, sorry. This is, we are, as Palestinians, we are off of the double standards by the Eastern international community. And I'm talking about the politicians, about the governments, not the people, because we also followed on the great demonstration in the street in the European Union. Hundreds of thousands of people, also in London, like 500,000 of British people were in the streets. Come on, people all over the world know the truth. You can't hide it. It happened in the past that a lot of media were hiding the truth. But now we have social media, we have Zoom, we have WhatsApp, we have a lot of applications that people in Gaza and in Palestine that can use, and we can keep telling the truth for what is going on now here in Gaza. No one will stop us. We have a lot of English speakers. We will keep telling the truth loudly. We will not stop. We will keep speaking up until the international community will respect our willing and self-determination. And of course, stop the horrific genocide that it's happening now. The numbers again, the numbers of the killed people, it's not the truth. Yeah, that's right. It's not the real numbers, of course, because we have a lot of missed people. We have a lot of killed people who are still under the rubble. Another horrific numbers, by the way. It didn't happen before that the number of the injured people is double of the killed people. It's horrible. Like the bombing, they meant to kill the people while they are bombing the civilian peoples here. You can see, of course, millions and billions of people over the TVs. They can watch. They can judge what is going on here. You can see, like, come on, it's the entire neighborhood. They bombed it like. It's crazy. Like, and of course, if Israel has no one to tell them that they have to stop, they will keep killing us.
And Fadi, I want to ask Fadi. These attacks are taking place in response to the Hamas attack on October 7th. Obviously, as you've said, it's a genocide that's taking place. But I want to ask you about the response that Israel has had to nonviolent resistance by Palestinians. You wrote in 2018 a piece called "Why I March in Gaza." Explain what the response was of Israel to this non-violent resistance, the Great March of Return?
Oh, that's a fantastic question, by the way. In fact, the Israeli population is very violent with killing the Palestinians, even if they are struggling with non-violence, even if they are staying at their homes, even if they are in West Bank, for example, they kept invading the West Bank cities and towns, and they killed a lot of Palestinians there. And there's, by the way, like a couple of months ago or a few months ago, there's an American old man. He had been detained under hard circumstances until he died. I mean, what the 67 years old that man has done for the Israeli occupation, even when Palestine, by the way, the non-violence struggling, it didn't happen and started in 2018 in the what we have named and called a Great March. The Palestinians were creative in starting the non-violence in the 1987 when the first intifada happened. What happened there? Even so, the Israeli occupation were killing us, arresting us, shooting on us, demolishing homes. This is the policy of the